Continue our worship this morning by turning, if you would, please, copies of God's Word to Psalm 119. No, we will not read the psalm in its entirety, at least not today. We will eventually have made our way all the way through the psalm. But today our sermon text is Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 8 this morning. People of God, this is the word of the living God, so hear the word of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Thus far the reading of God's holy word this morning. Well, Psalm 119 is probably both familiar and unfamiliar to all of you. Familiar in the sense that we know that it's the longest psalm. It's probably the longest chapter in the Bible. And it seems like it's all about the same thing, and there's really not a whole big reason to spend a whole lot of time looking at it and studying it. So we know what it is, generally speaking, but we don't actually know what it is in terms of what it's accomplishing, what each little portion is trying to teach us about God himself, about his law, about our relationship to God and his word. If we think simplistically about it, we think that the psalm is about the beauty of God's law, of knowing it and obeying it and delighting it. And that's true insofar as it goes, but it's too simple. Rather, the psalm is about much more than that. It's about our relationship to God. It's about the connection between who God is as seen in his word. It's about the connection between the Lord and his covenant people. It's about the Lord's love for his people and their love for him experienced in and through his word and through his law. Psalm 119 is not about rigid external obedience to the letter of the law as some sort of means of obtaining favor from God. Rather, it is about relationship with God through his law and an obedience driven by desire for greater relationship and greater fellowship. This psalm is just as much about love as it is about law. And it's important for us to keep that in mind. And it will begin here in these first eight verses as we begin to see the relational language that the psalmist used to describe not just the law of God, but the covenant Lord of his people. And the psalmist's desire that he would grow in his seeking after not mere obedience to the law of God, but the Lord himself. And the law as a means by which he does so. And that's important for us as believers. For we know that the law, when it comes to those who are unbelieving, for those who have yet to have faith in Jesus Christ, that the law stands as judge over them. It stands in condemnation of them. It levies the penalty of death. It says to all mankind, do this and live. And if we could do this, we would live. At the same time, it shows us how there's no way we could ever do this and live. But for the believer, it becomes so much more than that. It becomes about how God blesses us inherently in the way that he commands us. How he is about directing our paths, not so that we might engage in arbitrary obedience, but rather so that we might know what real blessedness is, what the favor of God looks like and feels like. And if we would experience the favor of God, if we would experience communion and fellowship with him, then it's incumbent upon us to know his word, to know his law, to seek his strength in following after it, that we might know the blessedness of obedience. This morning, the sermon text and the sermon itself are about knowing God's blessedness by walking in obedience to his word. We'll follow that along these lines. First, we'll look at the blessedness of obedience. Second, we'll see a prayer for guidance. And then finally this morning, we'll see the praise of obedience. The blessed of obedience, the prayer for guidance, and the praise for obedience. The first point is pretty obvious. It's exactly how the psalm starts. Twice in verses 1 and 2, it talks about the blessedness of the law of God, of walking in it, of keeping it. Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled, or the blameless in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Right? The means for blamelessness is walking according to the law and the word of God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. So what we begin to understand here in these first two verses is that connection between what it is to have fellowship with God, to be in communion with God, and how it is we are to relate to his word and to his law. We're told in verse 1, blessed are the blameless in the way. How is it that they are blameless? Through walking in the law of the Lord. The degree to which we follow the precepts, the path, the footpath laid out for us in the word of God is the degree to which we experience this blamelessness. We'll see in just a moment that fortunately or providentially, graciously for us, Jesus Christ's blamelessness is what rests upon us. But we subjectively can grow in our imitation of the blameless Christ as we follow the word that he followed, that he made the center of his path of life here in his ministry on earth, the means by which he was able to offer up that perfect sacrifice. But I want you to look beyond the blamelessness of walking in the law of the Lord to the relational value found in verse 2. Verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Why? 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Why are we blessed when we walk in the law of the Lord? Because in walking in the law of the Lord, we are seeking the Lord with the whole heart. The blessedness of the law, which contains all of it, not just merely the moral precepts and commands, but the whole of his self-revelation, the blessedness of seeking the Lord with the whole heart, freedom from sin, flows from following after him, not raw obedience. There's a danger here. What we look at is we look at this and say, well, if I just keep the law, then I will be blessed. As though it's just a button I push or boxes that I check. But it's more than that. It's understanding that as I follow the law of God, as I seek him with my whole heart, I grow in relationship with him, in communion and fellowship with him. And that is the blessedness. Not the obedience itself, but what the obedience produces and reveals. If we would have a sense of the presence of God, then we would follow his word, the path that he has laid out before us, the means by which we experience who he is and what it means to be blessed. The blessedness of obedience is, in a word, fellowship and communion, right relationship with the God of blessedness himself. Secondly, this morning, something that we need to understand is that obtaining this blessedness through walking in the law of the Lord and finding blessedness through that growing relationship with him, because he is revealed in his word and in his law, We must prayerfully seek for his guidance in order that we might be able to grow in this obedience and in this relationship with him. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Better to read that as you have commanded your precepts for us to keep. They were given to us for a reason. God gave his precepts, and they were given in order to guide the footsteps of his people so that they might know this blessedness of which he speaks. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And so what the psalmist says in verse 1 through 4 is all of the blessedness and wonder that comes and is found in the word and the law of God, the fellowship that can be obtained, the relationship that can be grown by this diligently seeking him with the whole heart through his word as he's revealed himself in it. That if we could all perfectly do what the psalmist has said in these four verses, we would all have a full, vibrant sense of our relationship with God, of the blessedness that comes with knowing him as God, of his goodness and his love, his grace, his mercy towards us. But the thing is even in our redeemed state, we still have that sin bound up within us. We still want to go our own way. We don't want to walk wholly in the law of God. We don't want to seek him with our whole heart. There's that war within us that would say that with my mind, with my spirit, yes, this is what I want, but with my flesh, it's not. And we war with ourselves. And the question is, how can we have this blessedness that's set before us, that's promised to us? How can we know this? How can we experience it when we know we are so imperfect in doing what the psalmist calls us to do, in embracing what he calls us to embrace? Well, the answer is by looking to the Lord to give us the strength to grow in walking in his way, in seeking after him with the whole heart. Verse 5 is a petition where he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. He's both lamenting the fact that they're not, but at the same time calling out that the Lord would do this work within him. At the same time, calling out that the Lord would direct his paths, that the Lord would direct his feet to walk in his ways and to know this blessedness. It's nothing less than what the proverb says. And what does it say to us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That's the idea that's contained in this lament and prayer and request of the psalmist. He knows where blessedness is to be found. He knows the joy and the fellowship, the relationship with God that is to be obtained if we would follow in his perfect law, if we would walk according to his precepts, if we would find him in his word. He knows what's there. But he knows his own weakness. He laments his own weakness. And in lamenting his own weakness, cries out to God to do for him what he cannot do for himself. And so, saints, when we come to the word of God, wherever it may happen to be, everything that reveals who God is, what he's done, what life ought to look like for us and how it is to be lived in order that we might know blessedness. We should come to that understanding both that this is the path to blessedness, but also having an understanding of our own weakness and failure to lay hold of it like we ought. To lay hold, and this is the crux of the issue, saints, to lay hold of God as we ought. Not the law, the God behind the law. And knowing our own weakness and being able to lay hold of the God behind the law like we ought to. Calling out to him that he would give us the strength, that he would guide and direct our footsteps, that he would fill us with the Spirit, that we would be filled with and controlled by the Spirit that dwells within us, to be able to walk more closely in this path, to have him hold our hand and guide us down the path of blessedness. It's not just recognizing the blessedness of obedience. It's recognizing the need for guidance and the strength of the Lord. And there is a happy result in the blessed guidance of God. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. We should be able to understand that. Paul certainly understood that. He talks about that war within his flesh. He talks about the effect that the law of God had upon him. It revealed to him his sin, and it slew him as a result. He saw how he could not do what was required of it. And beyond that, it produced within him a desire to do even more of those things which he was not to do. That it increased the war, it increased the war within him. The law can be a source of shame, and when it reveals the ways in which we fall short of the glory of God, and that shame would be gone, the shame would be done away with if we would obey perfectly. If we would walk in the path of the Lord as we ought, if we looked into his commandments, knowing that indeed we did no iniquity, and that we were blameless in the way, there would be no shame. And we certainly wouldn't be ashamed standing in the presence of a holy God. Finally, this morning, the psalmist, as he gives to us the source of blessedness and the blessedness of obedience, as he prays for guidance in that path of blessedness from God himself, it leads him ultimately to praise and one last petition and request. He says, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." That again contains for us that relational language that I've been speaking about as we've walked through the psalm. That as the psalmist looks into the law of God, as he looks into his revealed word, and he sees the righteous judgment of his God. And that understanding of righteous judgment is not God's judgment on sinners in this context. It's God's judgment of what is good, of what is right, of what is blessed, of what is evil. That's what God's law reveals to us. It shows us the good. It shows us the evil. And when we look at that, when we meditate upon it, when we see God in his law, that gives us reason for praise, for thanksgiving at his righteousness, at his good judgment. Here in Psalm 119, we're transported all the way back into the Garden of Eden again, where there we have Adam and Eve, having been given the law and word of God, having been told to trust him and his goodness, that what he has said and what he has done was good. That's why that phrase is repeated over and over again. And God saw that it was good. The whole idea of "and God saw" was that it was good is not just for us to see that God was pleased with what he did, but to highlight what happens when Adam and Eve reject his goodness. God saw that it was good. They had everything that they could ever have wanted. They had all of that paradise. They had a purpose given to them by God. They had blessed fellowship and communion with him. They were surrounded by his goodness. They could see his goodness in his precept to them, that they could eat of whatever they wanted in that whole garden, save for one tree, that they could be fruitful and multiply, that they could tend to this wondrous paradise, that they could spread the image of God throughout the entire world. They had a taste of just this blessedness. And if they would have seen God in it, then they would have praised him for it. But rather, what do we find them doing? We find them disregarding all of the goodness of God surrounding them, seen in his creation, heard in his precept to fulfill the purpose that he gave them, placed before them in that one command that ultimately was, trust me, I know what is for your good and what is not. But because they wanted to know it for themselves, because they wanted to be the ones who determined what was good and evil, rather than praise the Lord, they despised him and they disobeyed and they lost fellowship with him. When we look into the law of God, when we look into his word, we're meant to see more than just rules and regulations. We're meant to see more than boxes to check, that if we can just check enough of them off, then we will know blessedness. Then we will be happy. That's not the point. The point is, in his law and in his word, God is revealed to you. And as you walk according to it, you will experience who he is. And have every reason then to lift up your voice in praise of who he is. Because you know it. Because you're walking in his goodness and in his blessedness. Praise for God comes from knowing who he is, growing in love for him as you see him revealed to you day by day by day in the words on the page before you, but so much more the words that walk the path with you when you head out the door every day. Would you want to know God, saint? Would you want to know the promises of blessedness that he has given over and over again in Matthew? Then take heed according to his word. Pay attention to his law. Pay attention to how he has revealed himself to you and how he invites you to come and fellowship and commune with him. And the psalmist ends this psalm, or this section of the psalm, here in verse 8 with a plea. It says in verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And it's important for us to understand that. Because when we come to that last little part of the verse, one, it feels a little bit out of place compared with what's come before. And two, it feels as though what the psalm is saying, hey, if I just follow your law, you won't forsake me. But that's not what's happening here. The psalmist is not saying, I will keep your statutes, and therefore you won't forsake me utterly. I'm walking according to your law. Don't forsake me, Lord. As though if he falls and falters one time, then his God will flee from him. That's not the conception. That's not what the psalmist is trying to put us or give us to understand here. Rather, he's asking that God would not abandon him to himself in his keeping of the law, in his following of his statutes. It's another plea. It's consistent with what we find in verse 5 of this section. That just as he says, oh, that I would walk, oh, that my steps would be directed according to your statutes, that I could diligently keep them. He says here, don't forsake me as I seek to walk according to your law. Don't abandon me to myself. Don't leave me to walk this path alone in my own strength. Be with me, God, as I walk your path. Give me your strength, Lord, as I follow after your blessedness. Don't leave me to myself. There's a note of desperation here. Don't leave me to myself, Lord. Because if you leave me to myself, then I will surely falter and fall. I will stray. I will go my own way. Don't forsake me, Lord. Be with me. Don't abandon me. Give me your power. Give me your strength so that I can know this blessedness, this relationship with you, this fellowship and communion and union with you as my God, as I experience who you are in your word and walk according to it. Jesus has a lot to say about being blessed in Matthew. And God promises blessing to his people. And God declares their objective state of blessedness. Would you know that blessedness? Would you lay hold of it? Would you have it as part of who you are? And come to this law of God. Come to this revealed word of God. And in humble, desperate reliance upon him, walk according to it. Let's close with just these couple points of application. Here in verses 1 through 8, there's not much said about the wicked. There's a reason for that, saints. It's because this is about this psalmist's relationship with his God, not about the wicked. It's about his relationship with his covenant Lord. But nonetheless, in Psalm 1, we are told that there is the blessedness of being rooted in God and the wickedness of not being rooted in God. And what the end is for those who aren't rooted in this covenant Lord. And so for everyone here who has not yet professed faith in Jesus Christ, the law says to you, do this and live. It doesn't hold out to you the prospect of blessedness because it can't, because you can't do it. And if the law would turn from curse to blessing for you, if the Lord would turn from judge to father for you, it must come through his Son. Because there's only one human being in the history of earth, of the world, who could ever say that I know what this is like. And that's Jesus Christ. And he did so that you might know it too. That the blessedness that he experienced for all of his 33 years on this earth would be yours through his blamelessness in it. If you would have this blessedness, then come to Christ. Lay hold of him who secures it for all of those who put their faith and trust in his work. If you have laid hold of Christ by that Spirit-given, God-wrought faith, and the application has already been given to you over and over again. And I won't belabor the point, save to tell you this, Christian. Are you discouraged? Do you wonder about the blessedness promised in the gospel? Do you wonder where God is? He's right here. He's right in front of you. calling out to you, come to me, come fellowship with me, come know my blessedness, call out to me, that I might guide your steps to walk in this word, and as you walk in it, to know me, who I am, what I've done, my goodness, my intent, my purpose, my heart towards you. And that's the root of it, saints. We aren't close to God because we don't desire to be. Because there are so many other things that we desire more. We don't seek after God with the whole heart. We seek after God and other things. How much time are we spending, saints, actually meditating upon the Word of God? How much time is this book open before you, and in prayer on your knees, you ask Him, Lord, show me you in this Word. And give me the strength as I leave today to be mindful of what's in it so that I might experience you in this word. How often when we talk with one another are we talking about this source of blessedness? When we're talking about how God has revealed himself in it and how we experience it as we walk according to it, what role does the word play in your life, saint? We long for the presence of God. We long for communion with Him, but we don't use the means He's given to have just that. And that's what this psalm calls us to. Want to know your God? Want to know the blessedness of right relationship with Him in the gospel? Then take His word, because it's Him. Follow His path and know who He is. And in knowing who He is, enjoy the blessedness of God. Let's pray together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, having heard the words and had them read to us about how it is we can know blessedness. But Father, despairing that ever will we know it, because we know our own sinful hearts, because we know that we needed Jesus Christ in order to put us in the position that we might even know this blessedness, and because we know that even now, though now rightly related to you, though now having you as Father instead of judge, yet still we don't seek you with the whole heart. Still, we say that we know what's good and we know what's blessed. And we reveal that day by day as we neglect your word, as we fail to call out to you to show us yourself in your word and to guide our footsteps that we might walk this path of blessedness that you have laid out before us. That we might grow in knowing who you are. That we might grow in love for you, in praise for you, in love for those who bear your image. Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us to lay hold of the promise that is before us and the blessedness contained within it. Oh, that we would be diligent to walk according to your statutes. Do not forsake us. Do not abandon us to walk in our own strength in a hopeless endeavor to lay hold of what we don't have the power to lay hold of. But fill us fully, completely, powerfully with the Spirit that you give us for just this reason. To taste and see that the Lord is good. So, Father, enable us to know this blessedness, to grow in our union, communion, and fellowship with you by giving us the strength to walk, the strength to love, the strength to seek. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name, and we ask them of you. Amen.